Today's Wisconsin legend is playwright Lorraine Hansberry. She was the first black woman to write a play performed on Broadway. Her best-known work, the play A Raisin in the Sun, centers on the lives of African Americans living under racial segregation in Chicago.
But before Hansberry became known on Broadway, she was a student at UW-Madison and already devoted to the cause of equal rights for minorities. Here to fill us in on the life and work of Lorraine Hansberry is Sandra Adele, professor of literature in the Department of Afro-American Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Sandra, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with how Hansberry ended up at UW-Madison. When was she here?
She was here in around 1948. And how she ended up here, that's quite a puzzle. I do not know. we don't have any records of any letters that she wrote to friends and family about her choice. I do know that everyone else in her family went to traditionally black colleges. Her parents were from, her mother's from Tennessee, her father was from Mississippi. They were a well-off family by any standards in the 1930s and 1940s. She was born in Chicago. But why she chose Madison, I'm hoping we will find out on April 1st when the Schomburg Center for African and African-American Culture opens up an online archive that have letters that have never been seen before and photographs that have never been published about her.
Yeah. What would have been like for her coming to the UW in that time, in the late 40s?
I can't imagine it, to tell you the truth, especially when you consider the few number of students of color we have here today. What, maybe less than 2,000. There would have been even fewer at the time. Now, I do know that she integrated an all-white woman's dorm while she was here. And she was also a member of what's called the Young Progressives. At one point during her sophomore year, she was the president of that organization. How big it was, I don't know. And I'm hoping, again, that we will find some of that out in the letters that she might have written home to her mother.
So she was already politically active. She said she desegregated a dorm, which is a pretty big thing to do when you're a college student. I wonder also if you know anything about the seeds of her literary career. Were any of those sown while she was here?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me back up, though. Her activism and her literary career, those seeds were sown in Chicago. Her family, as I said, were quite well off. Her mother was a school teacher. Her father was a very successful real estate broker. And that family hosted some of the country's most outstanding black intellectuals, including Paul Robeson, who you might have known came here several times in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and also W.E.B. Du Bois, Langston Hughes, among others. So all of those seeds were sown in Chicago, in her home. Her father filed suit, Carl Hansberry filed suit against the restrictive covenants that kept black people out of white communities in Chicago, and won. And that is what made what's called restrictive covenants illegal. And if you don't know what those mean, it is where a group of people will get together, white folks will get together, and sign agreements that become legal and binding that they will not rent or sell to blacks and Jews. And we even had restrictive covenants here in Madison, Wisconsin for many, many years until somebody looked at the laws and said, okay, we're getting rid of these. So this activism then came about as a result of her family environment. That's what she brought to Madison, Wisconsin with her. All of this upbringing in Chicago.
So there was never a question maybe in her mind that she would not continue that activism. She was going to do that right from the start.
Always, yeah.
So where did the literary strand come from? You talked about her being brought up in an activist household. This was something that was part of her makeup. But what about the playwright part of her?
Well, that came as a result of her. When she came to Madison, she thought she was going to go into art education. And then she switched to creative writing. And when she saw Shauna O'Casey's Juno and the Peacock, that's the turning point for her. She saw it in a theater production here. And that's when she decided she wanted to go into playwriting. But even that, the experience of writing, we have to attribute that, to Paul Robeson and the black intellectuals that she met when she left here after her sophomore year and went to New York City.
So Paul Robeson and Lorraine Hansberry, both people who united entertainment, I guess, or popular culture and political activism. They didn't see a distinction between the two, it
sounds
like.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Interesting.
Do you know whether she encountered any kind of opposition here or whether it was a town that was in a university that was ripe for progressive ideas?
No. Actually, if you look back at the history of blacks in Madison in the early part of the first half of the 20th century and even today to some extent, it was very hostile environment. So you had to be strong and committed to change. Now, one of the other things I want to point out, though, is Lorraine Hansberry was a lesbian. And around 1950, by 1957, she had joined a group called the Daughters of Elitis, which was in New York City, and started writing for a lesbian feminist paper. Now, think about this. We're talking about prior to the civil rights movement of the 1960s. But again, all of this development, she was ripe when it comes to, if you want to use those terms, when she went to New York, because she associated and became immediately involved with the New York intellectual group. She studied and took courses at the New School for Social Research, which was just a repository of intellectual and public intellectual work, not celebrity. You know, there's a big difference between that. I mean, these people weren't trying to be celebrities. They were trying to be public intellectuals. That their work had to be in the interest of better improving the conditions of all people.
So here in Madison, I don't know how much we know about the story of desegregating that dorm that she led. Was there an instant backlash to that? Did people pick up the idea and agree despite maybe being a hostile environment for a woman of color?
I have no idea. That's what we don't know.
Yeah.
Now, what I do know is that when she... I would like to back up to Chicago because I think there's a part of her history in Chicago that people are not aware of. And that is when in 1938, when her family, she was 8 years old at the time, moved into an all-white neighborhood, they encountered tremendous violence to the point that they were court ordered to leave, to move. And that's why her father filed the Hansberry versus Lee lawsuit to protest this restricted covenants. Mm. Okay, and so, you know, that's a grand example. To what extent, and I don't know if she led, an effort to desegregate. I just think she went in there and said, I'm staying here, period. Mm. So, you know, I don't know how much of a movement or who was behind her here in Madison when she went into that dorm.
Maybe she just refused to be segregated.
Yeah, which is what her parents refused when they said, okay, you want to kick us out of this community? And it was very violent. The whites were very violent against it. We're going to take it all the way to the Supreme Court. So that's the kind of fight that she was exposed to all the time in her home and then when she went to New York.
Well, she sounds like an incredibly strong, dynamic person. I had no idea she was at the UW-Madison. What is your sense of her just as a person?
I wish I had known her.
Yeah.
I tell you, I'm very excited. I'm just looking forward to when the archive becomes live on April 1st.
Will you be there?
Well, it's online.
It's online.
It's online. But I do want to point out a couple of other things, and that is she completed The Raisin in the Sun in 1957. It opened on Broadway at the Barrymore Theater in 1959 and ran for 530 performances. Now, there was a couple of important revivals. One was in 2003 with Sean Combs, you know, P. Diddy, as Walter Lee Younger, Felicia Rashad as Lena Younger, and Audra McDonald as Ruth. This is an all-star cast. It's opening again. It's in previews right now at the Barrymore Theater, which is where it opened in 1959, with Denzel Washington as Walter Lee Younger. So this play lives on and on and on. Now, I don't know how much credit we can take for that play, except that she saw something here in Madison. She saw theater here, and that inspired her.
The play, do people watch it now as an artifact of another time, or does it really have a strong resonance with us today?
It resonates with us today because, you know, it's dealing with a family who has suffered the loss of the patriarch, the husband. The father, rather. And it's a family dynamics. The story is about a family dynamics, but they're also moving into a white neighborhood. They're jammed up in this what's called a kitchenette apartment. And life is, they're stifled because there's no space for them to thrive. And so the mother and Mama Younger and Walter Lee are, you know, they're butting heads here. So you've got all of these generational conflicts, but you also have the beginning of her feminism. She's way ahead of her time in creating a character, Benita, who in 1959 wants to be a doctor, not, you know, not a nurse. Mm-hmm. And then there's a character named Asage, who's African, Nigerian. And this is the first time we see on stage an intelligent Nigerian or African, somebody from the African continent, who is not, you know, our Tarzan stereotype. Mm-hmm. So she was way ahead of her time.
It sounds fascinating. Thank you so much for coming
Thank
on
you.
And sharing her life with us. We've been talking to Sandra Adele from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, talking about Wisconsin legend Lorraine Hansberry.
Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, an inside look at the people who go to work for Wall Street banks and how the Great Recession changed their world.
I'm Veronica Rickert.
I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.